This is the TwinCast Podcast from Sabertron.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. View the world's largest Transformers galleries at Sabertron.com/galleries. The ultimate Transformers resource.
Welcome to episode 407 of the Cosmos Podcast. Can we even call it that? Is Carl Sagan going to sue somebody?
I don't care about Carl Sagan. I'm more cool with the Cosmos being a little bit weirder than Carl Sagan for this type of a Cosmos podcast. You know, like, we got to stick with the Dare to be Stupid Cosmos and not the real universe around you Cosmos type thing.
Ironhide 19, this is your cue to say something like really.
I was
really
trying to think of some sort of Cosmos related joke, and I was coming up empty.
Pale Much green like dot Cosmos. That is Cosmos.
There we go.
We tried.
Oh, my mind was just thinking: is Earthspark really the last time he's been in anything since G1?
No, he's. I could have sworn he's shown up in other places, at least background. I think
animated
least,
doesn't count.
You can't call that anymore.
I wasn't prepared for all that. This is a terrible intro. It's all ruined. It's just all ruined. We're not going to start over, though. Sorry, that painful intro is what you get, listeners. This is what happens. This is what happens when we go on these long marathon episodes, and we get to this one, and we're on fumes. Maybe.
We're huffing that jet fuel, the rocket fuel, if you will, that gets you to blast off all the way up to space to see the cosmos.
We tried to pick a good disguise that would make us blend in, so we just decided to be a UFO that no one would ever notice. Mm-hmm. The perfect thing that could ever come up.
Inconspicuous as some of the other things. So, yeah, it's whatever. It don't matter. They were in Oregon. Who lived in Oregon in the 80s?
No one. I lived in Oregon now.
No. But look at that. Like, that is some all types of, like, reach out to the people who typically don't get love. Because you look at the 80s and every comic book or adventure thing for kids is either in New York or LA or a made-up city that's supposed to reflect one of those. And here comes Transformers. Like, where should we place this? And they're like, you know what? Oregon. So that's some real, like, kudos to them to pick that rarely used spot.
I'm going to say I had no clue it was in Oregon until now, so I'm not sure how big of a detail that was in the context of the show.
It wasn't.
Yeah. I really assumed they were in, like, New Mexico or something, because it always looks like a desert.
Actually, the sad part is my mind continues to wander on that, and I will retract my previous statement. Because Oregon had more love than any other state, at least for our generation, thanks to MS-DOS video games in grade school.
And then my generation got the love of Nevada, Jasper, Nevada, for Transformers Prime.
I believe the point is that you pick somewhere with wide open spaces that things could hide and be covert. And
easy to render, easy to draw.
Well, that too. Yep. Yep. So, if you can't tell, listeners, our first thing we're going to talk about is, well, it was not going to be, but is now going to be New Legends, Cosmos, and Soundwave.
Which makes me very, very happy. I know I've been pining after this thing, anxiously hoping for some way it becomes available to purchase. And Takara comes to the rescue to give us the giant Earth Sparker. Like, I'm so excited for Cosmos to hit. It's such a stupid little, like, I need to add that in with the rest of the Earthspark stuff. And I didn't expect him to show. I thought that this was just going to be lost to the ether. And somehow Takara came through. The whole time I've got my fingers crossed and I'm praying that he doesn't go the route of Prowl.
Yeah. We got the pre-orders out and everything. I guess Soundwave was hard to get for other people. I saw a bunch of them in the wild. but it's nice for anybody that missed out on that one too.
That was very regional. Was very regional because I know you guys were able to get them in the Midwest because they showed up at Major for a couple of weeks in decent saturation. And thank you, Coolio.
Lay me hair.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, we don't speak Portuguese over here. But anyway.
It was Portuguese. So they did hit Meijer's stores, which is very much like this Midwest area.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't live in their footprint, these basically didn't exist.
And it was one of those things that when I found it at Lay Me Hair, I threw it in the cart and my wife's immediately like, "You just got that." And I'm like, "Well, I've made a call." And I know I had missed Scotty at the time, but I'm like, "There's no way in hell that this isn't coming home to make sure I send it to him." So again, it's kind of trying to help each other out to get there. But I know this thing, Soundwave's been impossible to get. It's a very cool deluxe figure. And I feel sorry that people couldn't get it.
It's definitely of one of the best out of the earth Spark Deluxes in that assortment. There's not much competition, to be honest, but like, I mean, I think Nightshade was good. The Takara Jawbreaker, which I don't have. Aftermath.
A lot of the later Earth Spark Deluxes were very good.
Yeah.
Soundwave is a particular standout, even among a crop of good stuff.
Yeah. He belongs to that unique slate of Transformers where the alt mode unfolds to be significantly bigger than it has any right to be.
It's like the opposite of the first couple of lockdown toys, where those would be a relatively normal-sized car that became this unusually tall robot its size class at the time. And then now you have this Soundwave that is pretty normal-sized, deluxe-class robot. I know there's a lot more variation in it these days, but pretty normal size, what you would expect. And then you turn it into that stealth bomber, and it's suddenly very flat and very long.
There's, like, no way they could have sold this thing in vehicle mode. Like, the deluxe packaging would not accommodate it unless it was half-transformed.
Unless you flip the winglets, and even then, it'd still be big.
It is crazy to me with this Soundwave that to buy the Takara one and import it in, it's still going to be cheaper than trying to get this thing in the market for the U.S. release.
It's true. I mean, it's been like over a year now, too.
Yeah, that time flew, man. Well, I'm pretty sure it costs about what I ended up paying Coolio for the favor, but that's cool. That's fine.
An arm and a leg?
No. Nothing like that. I ended up pre-ordering them on Amazon Japan, only to find that for some reason the BBTS pre-orders on these are dirt cheap for what they are.
I saw that.
I definitely canceled Amazon Japan and went BBTS for Cosmos.
Well, I decided to just keep them at Amazon Japan because when they come out, I'll be impatient. And I was like, it's only like $10 more. Whatever. It's all good. And before I forget, I know we already kind of moved on. I am aware, listener typing on their keyboard, that Soundwave was seen at like two Targets as well somewhere. So the one guy that's listening that bought Soundwave at Target, we know.
I saw him at Target.
Okay.
The first
didn't
one
buy
I
am there, but
the one I got for me was a Target pickup. I got yours from Lay Me Here. But I think Target just got inundated with that Earth Spark or the Glow, whatever Megatron.
Cyber Glow.
Thank you. I couldn't remember which
as
one.
As did
was.
Everywhere else.
Yeah. But that's all we saw. Like, we didn't.
Speaking of Target, real quick before we go move on, I don't think they're selling Commanders anymore, at least at retail.
Oh, okay.
I think they cut it out of the set.
Oh, well, it's always been a little bit variable by store. But,
yeah.
Well, we didn't really talk about Cosmos very much. We sort of did, but then we didn't.
Well, I mean, we talked about it like a year or so ago when the pictures came out, but now it's real. It's tangible.
Well, and this looks like it has... I should have looked it up beforehand. I did not look up the old stock photos of what Hasbro was going to do. Actually, I have them on my hard drive, so I can just pop them open over here. I feel like this has a whole bunch more paint than the other one was going to. I thought I had them on my hard drive. They are on Sabertron.com, so I can go look there.
If I had to guess, I'm like 90% sure that the little cannon things on the saucer are painted detail. Also, maybe some like the window details. I think the like chest silver and like the that was supposed to be there. And maybe the yellow wasn't supposed to be there. I do like that the way that the joints are. He has like that breakup between the thighs with like the yellow and then the gray joint. Like that's kind of nice.
Now, if you look at some of the like original pictures that came out of Cosmos, like all of his individual thrusters have paint now. His fists were, his fingers were originally just cast in the green.
Yeah.
And now it's got that silver. But you're right, there's a whole lot more paint detail. And it looks like, I doubt it's just shading, but it even looks like the blue is more of that nightshade blue instead of just like a pale blue coming through. Like it looks like it might have more of the metallic instead of like a flat baby blue on it. So it looks like it will be more. I think that the paint job's going to have a lot more pop than what the original Hasbro is going to be.
You know, I'm looking at the Hasbro stock photography here, and there are some nice little details like that chest plate. Those top corner pieces are now yellow, but otherwise it's about the same. Yeah. The thrusters were actually painted on the Hasbro one.
I'm talking about like on the shield. On his shield piece, the thrusters
are the bottom part.
Also, it looks like they had him mistransformed in the Hasbro stock photography.
Shocking.
He hadn't fully peekabooed out the head yet.
I think this toy, more than any of the others from the line, definitely benefits the most from the ball jointed arms, because that's a really bulky design that could easily have no articulation if they did it a different way.
Yeah, I'm happy this is coming out. I think the episode with him in it, not on purpose, I think that was the last one I watched. I didn't mean to stop, I just sort of did. The show didn't have anything really going on. That wasn't a bad episode or anything either, but I did enjoy that one.
I just have to say that I've said it a couple times in jest, but the new Transformers, like the Takara manga, is like my weakness now. Because it suckered me for the Minty Leo Convoy. It suckered me for the two brothers, so Gigastorm and Galvatron. I had to get the G2 Menasor on order. I've got the Nemesis Star Convoy. And then they're like, gee, how else could we get him? And they're like, here are the Earth Sparks. So not Soundwave, but Cosmos.
I mean, you were going to get Cosmos regardless of whether he was in that manga or not.
But it gave me the chance to get him. I just hope.
Sure, yeah.
Looking at the manga, I'm like, hey, can you guys throw Spitfire in there? Like, I'd love to finally just finish up the Terrans. That's my big regret right now, is how are we going to get her?
I always really wanted them to do a breakdown from that show. I really liked that design. I wish it got a toy.
That would be nice. I really like in this story. I think this works really well. If you've watched at least the start of Earthspark, I think this works perfectly, where it's basically just a branched timeline of G1, because this very start of Earthspark, remember, it's that really G1 inspired like backstory and kind of animation, not exactly, but very, very similar stuff. And here it looks like this is just the universe where Optimus took Alita with him instead of leaving her behind.
And Megatron became a little bitch.
Well, that's because the timeline had shifted already, you know? Sometimes you're an evil overlord, sometimes you're a bitch. That's how it goes.
Apparently two people haven't finished watching Earthspark yet.
I have not. I just told you where I stopped.
I know, it's just I'm hearing the other conversation.
I know there's some twist with Megatron. I heard it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it falls a little short. But
yeah.
I agree. I like how they handle it. I like how they bring it in, and it does kind of add kudos to, I mean, you look at Transformers from the get-go and how many other like franchises start off with like three separate universes to try to keep track of right away. I like how the manga does that whole thing, though, where it kind of brings it back in that G1 fold, and it's like, hey, yeah, we jumped to this alternate timeline. Here's where it's at, and we kind of get to see the family show up in comic form. Again, I haven't looked for a translation or tried to translate it yet, so it was just looking at the pictures, but it was fun to see the Maltos and everyone else come in.
You know where to not look? So T-Formers put up one that was run through machine translation. And it's basically ineligible. One of the panels has like the Fallen and Nexus and Solus looking, and it just says at the top, a matrix of leadership skills. What? Listen, I know people think they're doing a service with these machine translations. You are not. You are not even kind of.
Scotty's obviously got a pretty bad critical reading and media literacy if he can't figure out what matrix skills is supposed to mean. I mean, I knew it immediately. Coolio knew, but we're not going to tell you because we'd rather you learn it on your own.
I guess
you gotta assemble the cookie crumbs, the puzzle pieces, if you will.
I guess I need to work on my matrix of leadership skills for my
exactly.
next job interview.
That's your problem. One of these days you'll be able to read, kid.
The machine must have its MBA, and I don't.
So, at work, we had to read some technical manuals that were in Japanese. So the one guy I work with, I'm like, hey, did you try to run the translation? And he's like, Google won't let me. It won't let me upload pictures, only straight stuff. And I look over at the guy who's working with us, and I'm like, oh, you just got to take your phone out and Google translate the screen to try to figure out what's going on. I guess I probably should have done that with the manga to be a little bit more prepared so I could have used my correct matrix skills to know
that. I mean, you would have gotten gibberish. Like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes that's an okay thing to do to get a rough idea of things if it's an instruction manual bio or something, but I feel like it has a really hard time out of context with individual like speech bubbles, right?
Yeah, I've really only done it like for the descriptions on the back of like masterpiece boxes or whatever.
Yeah, when it's longer paragraphs, I think it does okay. Not great, but in like you can kind of get the picture. You can put the rest together. When it's speech bubbles, no. It doesn't know what's connected to what, why it's happening. It's just, there's what the words are. Here's what they literally come out to. Kind of.
But no, I'm very excited to have a little bit more Earthspark, and it leaves me a little more hope that I will get Spitfire just to complete the Terrans.
You know, this actually is a good chance for me to talk about. I got my Transformers fan book in from Amazon Japan that had the little ghost Starscream. And so the fan book itself is made for kids. It's a book of funtivities, right? Like, here's a maze, here's edited pictures. What's the difference between them? You know, that kind of stuff. Stuff you would give a like 6-year-old and with a pen or some crayons and be like, here you go. It's funtivities for you to do. But at the start, it has a very short little manga and it's all these little cutesy characters. But I guess because it was Ghost Starscream that came with it and they wanted that to be the theme of the little mini comic at the start, mini manga. Like one of the first things that happens is like a very adorable Optimus Prime just blows Starscream the fuck up. So that, you know, he can come back as a ghost. But I was just like, what?
Dude. See, now, that's more your speed when you can't read the Legends manga that the big boys read.
That's right. That's right. It was on my level. All I needed was the pictures.
I just love how it's like, hey, help the bullet get through the maze to find Starscream to make your ghost Starscream.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I'll finish some of the other activities. I'm still working on a couple other fan books. You know, once some of my like object permanence skills get a little better, I might be able to complete
that some word of other search activities. Is killer.
I was about to ask, how are there word searches? Is that does that translate?
I don't think there are. No, I do not believe there are word searches. All right. Well, let's move on to the next thing. Missing Link, Soundwave.
My absolute favorite picture of this is like the Missing Link cast stuff, because we've talked about how cool it is to see everybody together. And now that Soundwave has shown up and we have two Decepticons, well, I guess three Decepticons, you just look at the picture of all the missing links and you're like, gee, the Decepticons are quite screwed in this scenario right now. It's like, thank God each Soundwave has its own cassette, but I don't know how much the Auto Trooper is going to, or the Auto Scout's going to help us in this battle.
I'm so excited for these cassettes. I think I'm looking forward to those more than Soundwave.
I think I can understand why. Like, Soundwave looks great, and I see where they've added extra articulation to it. But Soundwave was one of the better articulated G1 guys to begin with. So, like,
I mean, the stuff they added is really cool.
Oh, I agree. I just think it's great how they're like, yeah, you're going to do both because you want both these cassettes. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing.
I thought it was cool. It's the first time they've done, like, an accurate Cybertron laser beak. Because even, like, the Siege one is just the Earth mode with a different head.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Is this the first time Soundwave's had, like, the headphones and, like, the setup and everything that would have been with the Diaclone or the... not the Diaclone, the Microchange toy?
I think the Japanese release came with those.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I was thinking device label, but those were earbuds. Not like a headset.
Right. And you had to buy them separately because that was Rumble and Frenzy.
Oh, no. He came with actual buds.
You're right. You're right.
And then the transformable ones that were more earphones were Rumble Frenzy.
Yep. You're correct. I remember now. I only bought the Sound Blaster and didn't really ever use it as an MP3 player. So,
but I've never used mine as one either.
No. I tried to use the Optimus Prime iPod dock, and then that's how I learned my iPod does not work anymore.
Damn.
I think the dock probably worked fine, but beats me.
You lost your strength of will.
Yeah, I guess so. This group shot you mentioned, okay, I think it is funny that to balance the numbers a little bit, they have put the roller that comes with Nemesis Prime into their group.
That was the other thing I noticed, is I'm like, they don't even care about normal roller, but they're like, we need to balance this out a little bit more.
Yeah, and they're like, Sentinel, let's pretend Sentinel isn't a thing in this picture.
That catches me off guard, though, because why not just swap out one of the Primes for Sentinel? But they've got two Optimus Primes chilling there.
That's been pretty consistent. So Sentinel is the like true exclusive. You can't just go buy Sentinel, and they will never reissue it. So I think it probably makes sense for them to leave him out. Like, you can't go to a store. You could never go to a store and buy a Sentinel. If they were to reissue all the entire line, they wouldn't do a Sentinel again. So I get
it. I mean, it's also like the theming they're going with there is generally like toy versus animation, or like Diaclone versus main release. Like, they're trying to mirror that against the Soundwaves.
But that's, even looking at this picture again, like you see animation versus toy Grimlock, animation versus toy Prime. But then, like, you get to Ironhide and Sunstreaker, and you've got the two different characters. Because you have Ironhide Ratchet, and then we've got, I always mess, is it Spinout and Sunstreaker?
Corden,
okay. But it's always fun to look at that, to get that group shot again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this is just for fun. We don't need to think about it too hard. We've already thought about it too hard.
Is Soundwave's animation model the most different of any of the animation versus toy models?
Yeah, I feel like it is so far. I mean, the Grimlock's pretty different too, but this is very, very different as well.
I keep trying to figure out if the head is really different or if it's just like massive paint app change. Because it does look like the chest flip out, like your cassette deck. Like, I feel like the Decepticon logo almost looks like it's more molded on or like more 3D, and definitely the extra like border design for the chest. I think that just sets off the difference so much more between the two.
I can't tell. I really think it's paint, though. I really think it's just when you paint it that much, you don't get quite as much of that detail. But these renders are at funny angles in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I like most of the Missing Links when they're coming out, it looks phenomenal. And I love that they respect the lamppost mode. And even when they give you like the animation with toy in lamppost mode, they throw in that dramatic capture wheeljack. Like, just be like, yeah, you can definitely complete that scene now by throwing your sound wave into it.
That's jazz.
Yeah, it's jazz.
Thank you. But I love that they pulled that in.
See, Scotty, I was going to preserve his dignity, but you chose not to.
It's fine. His dignity can join mine in the toilet. So I pre-ordered the through an intermediary off of Takara Tomy Mall so that I can get two extra slips of paper with mine for the cassettes.
What's the prices on these compared to the other Missing Links?
Too high.
Okay. And like, is it priced more or less than Prime?
He's like the price of Prime with trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's like not the smallest toy, but it seems like a lot still. Is it? I mean, it can't even just be for the cheap ass headphones or whatever they're throwing in there. It's probably just greed.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's a lot of it. And they know that a lot of these are going to be sold at discount. And I think, yeah, that's got to just be a lot of it. The yen is weak, and I think they know that. I wouldn't doubt me if that has something to do with it as well. But yeah, I can't find any reasonable justification for what it costs. It costs what it costs. We didn't make it. Takara Tomy did. They set the price. But it does feel too high.
Do you think it's at a point where it's just they know this is going to go? They know the demand's there?
I don't doubt that that is a big part of it. It's how much can we push it and sell it and make money. They know who they're selling these to, and it's not kids. It's 100% not kids and not even meant to be. And that's got to be part of it. But yeah, speaking of the little cards, I did that to get those. And did you know they did those for the powered buggy dudes with the Magnus? And I completely missed that.
I fear for you, Scotty.
It's not really a big deal. It's just, oh good, another saved search in various places that will not turn up anything for 15 years.
How do you feel about the headset? I just look at it and I'm like, it's just an accessory added in. Like, with the cord being a separate piece and then like the microphone piece, I guess.
Unless they were going to make this take actual batteries and put an AM/FM tuner in it, I have no idea why bother.
Question. I know how it works on Blaster for the microchange, but where was the radio piece on the Soundwave toy?
I don't know.
Was it in the chest? I didn't know if you had the original toy or something.
I don't know.
I don't think it ever... Did it actually ever have it?
I don't know if the Soundwave did. I know the Blaster had like the adapter thing you put in there.
Because you could, like with Blaster, the G1, you can even feel where like the buttons are more separated out. Soundwave seemed a lot more static.
Yeah, I mean, on Blaster, his legs are so big because one of them is where the AM radio would fit.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the gimmick on Soundwave was more of the micro cassettes, whereas the blaster tooling, it was more of it's a radio.
And that's fair enough, yeah.
I think that was really the difference in them. You know, because you don't have the Autobot versions of microchange cassettes, right? Those were all the Decepticon characters. They go with Soundwave.
That's true.
But yeah, I could completely do without. I will most likely, those will just stay in the box however they come packaged, unless I'm forced to remove them to get to something else. They'll sit there with the pink tape case in the box forever.
I kind of like that they included the tape cases.
Oh, I like it. I will never use them, but I appreciate it.
Because I know, like, even for me, War for Cybertron, I've got to kind of look to see if I can't get a couple more of the data disk cases just to keep, like, the few guys that came with Soundwave Blaster who didn't have the little, like, flip-up translucent cases for those guys. Just the little stupid things. I think the tape case is less egregious to me than the headset. And they're both in the same boat at the end of the day. It's kind of a little bit more plastic that you're probably not really going to use.
I would say this, for how much they're charging you for it, throw as many accessories as you want in there.
So, have all the missing links had the insignia reveal sticker?
A rep sign?
Yeah, a rep sign.
My mind's shot. So. Okay. I know Grimlock did. I know the Primes do because it's on the truck cab, right?
Okay.
My other stuff is in boxes right now. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they've all got rub signs. I don't know about the mini bots right off the top of my head.
So it looks. Actually, looking at these pictures. Okay. If you look at the toy version Soundwaves. So what really brought it to my attention was the Cybertron version Laserbeak. When you see him inside his little tape deck or inside his tape box, it's just very apparent where the rub sign's at. But what threw me for it is I'm betting the decal sheet has a normal Decepticon logo because Soundwave's rub sign is dead center of chest in toy mode, like toy colors. So if you look through the different pictures on Cybertron, you'll see, like, I guess it's just even the toy version, unless it's like the original G1 comparison picture now that I'm looking.
Yeah, I think the rub sign's on his back.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's.
I got Missing Link talking about Missing Link. Just saw scrolling through the pictures, and I was like, oh, they put the decal over, and it's a choice.
See, we need to be able to read the captions.
If we had the Matrix power, we'd be able to do that.
We need to work on
Matrix
that.
Skill.
Mm-hmm. You need some kanji skills on some of that. I don't
kanji's hard.
Yes, it is.
Have we had an Auto Scout officially released?
Nope.
That's all been third-party stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is... That's why I was excited for those. This is Missing Link doing straight-up new stuff again.
It's always the question to seeing these that are the next ones more cassettes or are we going to keep jumping around through the different characters?
We have no idea what the next one is yet, right?
Nope.
Okay. So nope. This would be the time to speculate if we wanted to.
Starscream.
Probably. I think that, or maybe I feel like maybe the Dotson mold.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because they've jumped around here, there, and everywhere.
Or because they have, like, you know, these are primarily for the Japanese market. I wonder if they would push the Skids mold again.
Yeah, that's, I think, low-key, probably high up there on the stuff that they would want to do.
One of the most underrated Masterpiece molds, in my opinion.
Underrated by idiots. That's a fantastic toy.
Well, it's just because, you know, in G1, it's like a non-character.
Oh, so well.
People aren't going to blow it off.
Well, they're dumb.
Yeah. I love my crosscut. Yeah, I think that's my dark horse pick is the Skids mold.
Until they do a Starscream and Megatron, I think those are always going to be my guesses for what comes next. And obviously, if they do Starscream, they'll do the other two.
What you got, Coolio? What's your pick?
I really think, just looking at the picture of the Deceps, it would have to be... I think I'd actually lean more towards and then maybe continuing with the cassettes. Some more of the smaller ones, because you got Grimlock and Soundwave kind of back-to-back. You had all the Primes hit, and then you got the Bumblebee Cliffjumper sets. So something that's a little bit of a smaller hit, especially if they went through all that work to make the cassette case, which, I mean, that may have just been a standard little micro cassette case, but that can filter through. The Laserbeak weapons could be reused on a standard Laserbeak.
I'm not really sure what Takara's relationship with Shockwave is enough to decide if how high I think that is a priority.
I'm wondering if he's more difficult. Was he... I'm trying to remember how his licensing came through.
Well, see, here's the thing. Everybody thought those licensed dudes were completely out of bounds, and then Encore Omega Supreme happened in, what, 2008?
And Skylinks,
yeah.
And it was, well, back to just who knows. If they have a paper trail of, yes, we are confident we have the rights to do a Shockwave. And the other interesting part here, though, with these is because they're completely new, does that, I don't know anything about Japanese copyright at all. But because it is brand spanking completely new, not using the original tool, does it even matter?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it.
It very well might matter, but I don't know if it does or not.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, or we won't.
Maybe it'll be Blaster next. Who knows?
Makes me really curious what they do with Jetfire.
I don't would think they touch it.
But would they go out on a limb and make a G1 Jetfire?
I don't think so. I actually don't think they will touch that, because there are official Macross figures.
No, that's what I mean. Right. I mean an official Jetfire, not Macross.
No, straight up. Okay. That is why I think they won't, because there are official toys that are that same Valkyrie.
Yeah, like modern ones.
Yeah, no, I think what you might be saying, though, Coolio,
is animation mode, not okay. Toy. Like actual G1 style animation Jetfire.
Yeah, now that but I could see. That would be cool.
That's what Skyfire was, though. I don't know if you could really do that out of the Missing Link mold, because Skyfire looks completely different from the Jetfire toy. Well,
that's what he's saying. Make a completely new toy, right?
Just yeah, like they did with I don't RC. Know.
Make Jetfire and Skyfire two different characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's press. I mean, they did the Siege and the Masterpiece, but I don't know if they are going to touch it again.
I like the idea. Now that I understand exactly what you were thinking there. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
It's just funny because the cartoon had to divorce itself from what the toy was because of that connection, and then kind of complete the circle that now, hey, yeah, actually we had this toy. It would be this is the toy we had in the back, in like the back of our minds. And all of a sudden it didn't work because whatever. So we pulled the Bandai Valkyrie.
I mean, I think it would mostly just end up like the Siege toy, but it'd be interesting to see an Omega Supreme. There's only so much you can do because he's just a parts former, I guess. But
I mean, so far I'm down for everything and anything they want to do. Like almost every release has been really left field in some way or another. For instance, even Sunstreaker, it seems like, well, yeah, so what, it's Sunstreaker, but dude, it's Sunstreaker. There was never a reissue. Would not have been the top of your list of the third Autobot to do.
And even Prime, you're like, that's not left field, but it is because no one expected them to do this. He was left field because you didn't expect Missing Link to become a thing.
Yeah, the Minibots were not. Those were not. Those were, okay, yep, I see what they're doing. And then it was, oh, Sunstreaker? Huh, all right, cool. And then, oh, shit, RC? That was, oh, yeah, there's, once they did RC, it was like, there ain't no rules. There's no rules to this, and it's awesome. So, it's very hard to predict because there are no rules. They're just doing whatever they feel like that they think is going to sell enough.
Do you think they're going to do animation decos of Ratchet and Ironhide?
No. I don't think they would have done all the retooling and all that stuff if they were going to bother.
That's what was highlighted on the group pick for me. Was I feel like you either get an animation detail or you get a separate character. So dual RCs, dual primes. I think Ratchet and Ironhide fulfilled the role, like that got the mold used at least twice.
But Bumblebee and Cliffjumper got two separate things and cartoon decos of each one.
Bumblebee and Cliffjumper are two separate molds. One's a Porsche, one's a VW Bug.
Yep.
Where's your Matrix power?
Matrix skills.
They exploded along with those Minibots' feet. I do want them to recolor those a lot, but I'm hoping that they haven't because they're re-engineering some of those parts. Mine are fine, but I know there are plenty that are not.
What happens to the feet? This is the first I've heard of this.
They're not good.
Oh, okay.
They're not made good. That's the short, stupid answer. I think there's some tolerance issues with the way that those rotate that are prone to some wear and breakage on that.
Mm.
Anyhow, I do think they'll do a black Ironhide at some point. It might be an exclusive, but I would not be surprised at all to see the black Ironhide.
I really do think if I'm going to get any of these missing links, it'll probably be the Ironhide and Ratchet one, just because I felt like out of all G1 toys, it needed the most of an upgrade.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still waiting on the Red Sunstreaker, too.
Oh, I'm really surprised that hasn't hit yet.
Maybe that's going to be a two-pack with the Black Ironhide. I would be down for that.
How did they... The Sentinel Prime, what was that an exclusive through? Do you think that would open up for more of those?
I mean, it was on Pulse, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was probably Tokyo Toy Show. I can go look it up. Hang on.
I just feel like Red Sunstreaker, because of how tied it is to Diaclone, might be a little bit difficult to run a full exclusive like that for.
I think that and Black Ironhide have a better chance of getting made versus Sentinel Prime, which is kind of just a very, very specific one-off kind of thing. Like, never had any toy precedent before or anything. Like, that's why that needed to be a much more limited quantity.
That was an exclusive to the 40th anniversary Transformers Expo.
Mm. Okay. It was an anniversary gift to the fans.
So you have to wait another 40 years to...
No, you have to wait another 3 years. We're on a movie cycle. The Red Sunstreaker anniversary is your 45th anniversary. So anybody who's been married for a while, when you pull up to 45 years, you provide a Red Sunstreaker for a gift.
Ooh, I'm going to have to pretend not to own one. I've been parting one together.
If you get divorced at your 45th anniversary, your ex-wife will get a Red Sunstreaker as part of the package.
If I am alive for my 45th anniversary, I will be very pleased. So,
I hate if any of these missing link discussions become formulaic, but they're very much fun every time we get a new reveal that it makes the wheels turn. And yeah, I know it's what's next, but it's just because of how much fun these guys are and what they really bring in.
I mean, it's kind of like Masterpiece in that way. Although I feel like Masterpiece has been very repaint heavy.
Yeah, Masterpiece needs a shot of adrenaline or something. I'm looking forward to Blaster, but everything else is repaints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Blaster and tapes, but everything else is repaints on the horizon. And movie Sideswipe.
I bet those Beast Wars figures just blew their tooling budget or something.
I just think maybe the passion. Like, when Sideswipe came out in Masterpiece, the amount of just passion and everything, that really took Masterpiece in the next level. All of that passion, I think, is now directed more towards Missing Link than it is Masterpiece.
Well, I think this is a lesson in momentum as well, because like Masterpiece is still so far from being a complete collection, if you only do official masterpiece, you're still so massively far away from finishing anything. Like, subgroups within G1, you are so far away.
It's like, you got a Magnus and a Hot Rod, that's it. Nobody else from the 86 cast.
You can't even do your Season 1 Decepticons.
Because there's no Reflector.
Yeah.
Or Shockwave.
Well, there's a Shockwave.
There's a Shockwave.
That's right. Wow, I'm off tonight.
It's okay.
You're okay.
But yeah, you've got to go third party to get a Reflector. And you can kind of sub in the Unite Warriors Constructicons in their individual modes, but then Long Haul looks stupid. And like, and then.
Yeah, they didn't do all the mini bots. I mean, Autobots, obviously, they didn't do. They did one Dinobot.
Yeah, and then let's change our design philosophy 3 or 4 times midstream and then redo. Yeah. Like,
I mean, same thing with Movie Masterpiece.
The way it's been managed is very much just like month to month, release to release, just picking a thing and doing it and doing whatever they feel like, which can be fun. But as long as that, as the line has gone, and I know technically Masterpiece is over and we're in Masterpiece G, whatever, spare me. It's the same freaking line.
Yeah.
Like, and then using
molds from the last line,
muddying the waters further. I forgot. I said everything coming up was repaints. I forgot about this Hot Rod coming out, which honestly looks cool. But in my brain, it's not even a Masterpiece. It's upscaled Generations guy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I think that's what hurts it the most, is what Masterpiece has become is you're even getting further away from trying to complete a group because we're cycling back to heavy hitters.
Yeah, yeah, it's... Well, totally
it's a Rodimus, isn't it? Or is it a Hot Rod?
It's a Hot Rod, yeah.
Oh. Because I was going to say Rodimus to address issues with the original.
No, it's the new Hot Rod to match with your new Prime that's like pan-generational Prime.
Jesus.
And I mean, it is basically just your Studio Series Hot Rod, bigger. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's going to be a really cool toy. Because I think that Studio Series Hot Rod is a very cool toy, and making it bigger, giving it a little bit more room to breathe and a little bit more room for the parts to do their thing without having to squeeze them into different places so much, I think that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. But, man, it doesn't feel like a Masterpiece thing. It feels like a special item.
I do like the look of that more than the Studio Series Hot Rod. I like the look of that more than the Masterpiece Hot Rod, like the general, like the first one, and then the Target Master one. I felt like the chest was just too long on him. Too Studio Series did a good job with it.
Yeah, you know,
proportioning.
It must have been because of the car license.
You know, it's not a real car.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no excuse. Then again, it was kind of at a time when they were more simple anyway, you know?
Yeah, it was in that weird transition period in between the supercars and the hyper cartoon.
Do you think Masterpiece, we've talked about it, and it not being anywhere close to completing a group. I'm just flashing back to when MP1 came out. That Masterpiece was basically just supposed to be that. And then it became just like heavy hitters, something special to bring that out. Did Sideswipe start something that we expected a group to be completed, and it became this motto or philosophy of the fandom that when I think about it, that's never what Masterpiece was supposed to be?
Well, that's what I meant about momentum, right? Because there was so much coming out so quickly. But I think it made an expectation that they never intended. But it's still what they did.
I think COVID messed up their production timeline a lot.
That too. And whatever factory that they had some kind of baby daddy fight with, that they took the MP44 and 45 molds and threw them in the trash and pulled on Takara Tomy's hair. Like,
is that a real thing or is it just a rumor?
It's a rumor with enough credibility to believe, because why wouldn't they have ever re-released MP44?
And wasn't the argument that they had to like redo tooling for the cab to get your like redone 44s, which is why you don't see the trailer anymore?
Yeah, and that's why the molds are slightly different and like the legs work a little bit different. And, oh, I remember they got pissed off about Hound. Rightfully so. That was the factory that did Hound, and I think they legit were like blamed the factory for Hound having problems.
Yeah, I forgot about Hound.
Wasn't there like a little stretch there? Because you have the Hound. How far out was Beast Wars Megatron too?
He was just before those.
Because like I'm thinking about it, because his crotch was exploding. You had the Hound that just kind of fell apart.
Say nonchalantly.
Didn't Sunstreaker have issues too?
I don't think very... No, Sunstreaker didn't have any problems.
Okay.
Yeah, no. And I think the Megatron one was... And this is somewhat Sabertron.com's fault, because we published it. One or two people had an issue with Megatron, and it scared everyone else. Like, mine has wobbly hips forever, because I went and loosened them up, worried about it. I don't actually think it was maybe necessary.
It's not like the train bots like Yukikaze, where it's assembled poorly.
Yeah, so... I think it was just some of those that were impacted, but we will never know for sure unless someone comes out and tells us, which is very unlikely. But we have ideas, and we also have listener questions. So let's get to them. We're going to start with Perceptor 1996's question, which I think is going to have some quick answers, which is fine. Says, hello, TwinCast team. What is Optimus' secret humiliating shame he doesn't want the other Autobots to know about? Well, let me tell you, Perceptor 1996. I talked to Optimus Prime about this one day a few years back, and I can say it now. I sent him a text earlier. I got the okay. His best time in the last 42 years of Transformers was the afternoon that he was a Dodge Ram and he got to do a photo shoot with Melissa and a surfboard. That's his shame. He doesn't want the others to know about. But it was like, it's because like he wants to be a imposing leader. He doesn't want them to know that like he had a great time and like, you know, they like hung out on the beach and made some sandcastles and, you know, they went and like got some burgers and milkshakes and stuff. And it was a great time. And then he dropped her off and shook her dad's hand and it was cool.
Okay. Everyone, I gotta come clear on this, come clean on this. Our fearless leader is talking what? About... I gotta come clear on this one. And that is, our fearless leader, just like what we saw here, is talking about his locker room talk with the other fearless leader. I had to go to the real person to get the real shame, which I had to talk to the A3, the Alpha Trion, who knows the real man behind it. And I know everyone's sitting here thinking about Optimus Prime, and the first thing comes up with that mouth plate. And the reason Optimus Prime's biggest shame sits there is that mouth plate. Our good friend Rotorstorm, I know she's talked about getting a lot of cool things, like the old voice changer toys, but that was not a toy. That toy is actually part of canon. Because the reason Optimus Prime has that mouth plate is he needs the voice changer, because his voice is actually three tones more annoying than Jar Jar Binks. So he becomes leader. Alf A3 was telling me, he comes up, he's like, Yusa got to win. And it was a whole lot worse. And he's like, you got to take this, and threw the voice changer on. It was not until like 92, 93, when Prime tries to become a cool sports car and he drops the faceplate for the first time. And then he sounds like the lifeguard from Grown Ups. And immediately goes back to the faceplate. It wasn't until like we get to like turn of the century that it can finally lose that faceplate and turn it on and off when technology caught up.
I'm just glad that's the reason and not oral herpes.
Wow.
I'm just saying MP1 was
completely locker room accurate. Talk.
MP1 is completely accurate. Like, we have the one picture floating on the site from when somebody took the faceplate off it. That's truly Prime's face with the annoying voice.
He's hiding a terrible mustache like Wheeljack. I had something funny this morning and then I forgot, so I'm going to go with, in the essence of another story from a character, I was sitting in the cafeteria and Rodimus came and sat down at my table and he sidled up to me and he was like, you know, when I first got the Matrix, I really had no idea what I was doing. I just kind of figured the Matrix would guide us. And then I asked Prime for help. And Optimus just like hushed, like side-eyed him and just said, I don't know what the fuck the Matrix does. I just believe and hope something happens.
That's legit. I feel like that's legit. But he hands it over and he's like, nobody told me what this does. I know it's important.
You gotta believe.
The ghost of Prime is floating over like, those fuckers are fighting over my Cracker Jacks prize.
That's like the best example of it is, I think it's in the 86 movie when somebody's just like, maybe the Matrix can stop it for Unicron. It's just, maybe.
What do you know about it, lad?
Yeah, it's, yeah, we have no idea what it can do. It's like, Cup has no clue what the fuck it does either.
You said the Matrix could light our darkest hour. Explodes.
They finally.
I mean, Galvatron can't even open the damn thing. That's it's obtuse even to get it to work.
The Autobots go on a quest and find Orion Pax's apartment, and that is actually where every Matrix existed from all the mangas because it just matched whatever outfit he was wearing for the day.
You know, I always loved the sound design when Galvatron is like trying to like
I was claw gonna say, I open. Love that sound, yeah.
Yeah, and it just you can tell they like I don't know who did that Foley, but man, whatever they did was perfect. Like if I don't know if it was like a drumstick on glass or what they were doing, but nailed it. Just nailed it. It
captured his struggle.
Yeah, well it really was like, oh man, I feel that. Like you could for some reason, it was just this visceral, like, you can imagine him, like, trying to open.
Well, that's what's funny about it, is you're like, man, I don't know how the fuck it works either, until Hot Rod gets the magical finger holes.
It was a magical girl, like, locket thing all along.
See, the problem was, Magnus had too big of fingers.
That's true. It was impossible.
Kid we never saw.
The game was rigged from the start for Magnus.
Look, the finger holes are exactly as big as they need to be. Right? It's Transformers, so maybe that's the Matrix's transformation, is that it can make its finger holes bigger or smaller as necessary.
I thought when it opens is the transformation.
Triple changer.
Oh, okay.
If you count all the little pieces that go flying, apparently, then like it has more modes than anything. Look at all those polygons, all those irregular triangles and stuff. All right, let's move on to the next listener question. Ryan, why are there ads on posts?
I've been seeing them on comments.
Okay. Anyway, Quake76 says, and first time question, so thank you, Quake76. My question is, as much hate as Transformers Energon receives because of the show, the comics and toys were really well done. My question is, which toy from the line was your favorite and why? For me, it's my Energon Optimus Prime Year of the Snake Edition, as I received it as a gift from my parents, and it being my first proper Optimus Prime figure. Later, I even got it autographed by Gary Chalk. So thank you, Quake76. That is an excellent question. I started the last one, so someone else start this one.
I'll go. I have the least connection to Energon, unlike you guys. When I was a child at the Blockbuster, the one DVD for Energon that they always had was Shock Blast Unleashed. So that cover and that design always stuck in my mind. And that was an episode that had, or like a series of episodes that had him, it had Scorponok, and it also had the amazing Omega Prime. And for the longest time, that's all I knew from Energon. And eventually, when I got my hands on... I was going to say Snowcat, but it's just not a fun toy for me. I got to just go with Shock Blast. It looks really cool. I've had it before. The articulation's kind of shit on it. And the spring-loaded features were kind of messed up on mine. I think a fresh copy would have been better.
So the articulation is fine. The problem is his right arm is just a one big old piece.
Yeah, that was the problem. It's like I didn't know what to do without him falling over. It looks really cool, though. I like that toys that mess with the head design for Shockwave. You know, like, that has a very Whirl-esque head to it.
It would be, like, more of a, like, Labrador Retriever Shockwave as opposed to, like, a Pug Shockwave.
That's a good analogy.
I I very much agree with our question, and or with the question being brought up, and that Energon had a lot of toys. I'd argue that when I look at a lot of the toys, I feel like the Autobots were hindered by the combining gimmick. But I know I picked one on each side of it. So for the Autobots, the one I thought was a great toy, and I'll come back to Decepticon later, just so I don't steal any of your thunder, Scotty, was Towline. Like, I love the Towline figure. It had the Autobot combiner gimmick, but it was did not hinder the figure at all. Like, we talked about Missing Link, Ironhide, and Ratchet a little bit earlier. The club taking that figure was completely and utterly just a complete layup. It had the whole, like, repair bay mode. It had the bot mode. You broke the band in half, and you could even put them together to have the weird treads, cool stuff in it. Only thing I hate about him is his weapon is very much fragile at this point. I know, to try to be careful with, like, the clear plastic ball joint radar dish thing for the rifle. I know I had one of those crack on me. But Towline looked very cool. He was, for me, he's like a great amalgamation of Cup, Ironhide, and Ratchet all in one, where he's like the old timer, and I was sad that he wasn't in the show. Like, I wanted some real characterization of that guy, but always one I love to have keeping around. And just, you could even do the combining gimmick with himself, or combine him with two Autobots if you really wanted to. So,
is that the one they redecoed into Huffer, or am I thinking of another thing?
You're thinking of Armorhide.
Oh,
from Cybertron.
Okay. That's okay. That's what I thought.
Towline was the deluxe van. So, like, in vehicle mode.
Oh, right? I know what you're talking about. I've seen that Ironhide before.
It was the first, like, fun Pobot Con.
Those might have been a layup, but they were a layup for the home team. Like, a layup that you were, like, cheering for. Yeah. Absolutely. I want that.
I mean, even when we got our first classics, Ironhide and Ratchet, I'm like, yeah, you still can't touch what the club did in 06.
Yeah, they weren't as good, were they?
No.
All right. Well, I am actually sticking on the Autobot train here, but not really because of the faction. It's just one of those things where they did different things with the factions on the, well, really every figure scale, right? You had the combining Autobots in Deluxe, but then you had, or whatever they called it then, Combat. I don't remember. You had the combining Autobots, and then you had the weapons with the Decepticons, and it's always different stuff, gimmicks for the factions across the same size classes. And for the Autobots, when you get later in the line, you get really kind of experimental with, I don't know if they were called Ultras. What was that subgroup? Yeah, Ultra Vehicles, just the Ultras. Experimental stuff is what it felt like. And I think as toys, some of the best toys out of Energon came from here. And I'm thinking of the toys that were Landmine and Bulkhead and, you know, Cliffjumper or Beachcomber originally. But Landquake is my favorite of those. So it's that Landmine tooling of the sort of futuristic construction-ish vehicle thing going on. So you got the front part with that angled, looks like plowing, pushing scoop.
Oh, and, yeah, I've always thought that looked cool.
Yep. And then you got the back part that has the, you know, like the treads, tank treads that you can hook on in the truck mode, and it's got a little winch on it. And
with the friction pullback on the winch thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And the other really cool thing here is you can transform the toy, have it in a, like, nice, clean, well-articulated robot mode. And then if you want, and it's completely optional, you take that added part that combines in the vehicle mode as well, and you can bulk him up. You can put the big old backpack on him that has the winch coming over his shoulder, put the treads with their big, like, claws on his arms, like a, you know, big old powered up mode. It's such a fun toy. It's a really, really, really fun toy. And it looks great. It's big. It's satisfying. Easy transformation, but still complex enough to be satisfying. It checks all the boxes. Like, if I look at these as just toys and divorce anything character-wise from them, which I feel like is the spirit of the question, there's a lot of good ones in Energon, but this one's top of the pile for me.
And again, that's one that kind of lays waste to the theme for the Autobots. So I don't think Lamequake had the ability to combine with anyone. Could Lamequake and Bulkhead combine?
Well, the Ultra Vehicles couldn't combine.
Cliffjumper could.
Oh, you know what? And I forgot Jetfire was in that assortment too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also they said that you shouldn't combine across, but I'm pretty sure that the combining gimmick was same. They just didn't want you to have like small legs or giant legs compared.
Yeah.
But when
I should have known that the Jetfire, I forgot he was in the same, because I've combined my Jetfires before with Jetfire and they look really good.
I think that I was always tempted to try to get a hold of each of the figures twice for the Autobots just to combine them with themselves to make them bigger. But
it's a great excuse to get the Superlinquins.
Out of that line, I've heard that it's like there's some fragility with it, but would you recommend the Scorponok mold?
I think it's a great mold.
I always thought the Double Punch looked really cool in that deco.
Yeah, and I don't think the Double Punch has breakage problems. I don't think it has GPS anywhere.
That was
always has GPS.
Black Zarek, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I think it is just Black Zarek. But there are some versions of that have some other issues with assembly, and it's been so damn long they are escaping me.
I thought maybe it was like that clear plastic was an issue or something.
No, I think with those it was whether or not. So if you remember, he has the drill tanks, and I think that those could be flopped. Because then the screw holes are present in vehicle mode or whatever it was. And so it really amplifies it when you look at the Black Scorponok, because you have gold plastic on those. So if you try to do a rebuild or something.
Oh, yeah. And the club one that was the headmaster had some parts swapped, I think, that you had to take it apart and reassemble. Man, it's been way too long.
But either way, like, I've always thought Scorponok was a cool. I just know the biggest thing with that Scorponok was he hit stores and Magnus didn't. So, like, I picked up the Scorponok right away, and this was the first time I had anything pre-ordered Big Bad. So they're like, hey, you ordered the Ultra class. However, we don't have Ultra Magnus. We have Scorponok. And I'm like, yeah, I already bought Scorponok, so I think that's how I got my Korean Big Convoy. Was, like, swap that out back in the day.
But more to your question here, Ironhide. I think it's good. It's fun. I wouldn't overpay for it. I don't think it's top of the heap for Energon or anything, in my opinion.
It's hard to say, especially as far as club exclusives go. I mean, they're always crazy expensive anyway.
Yeah. I think some of this is colored by the fact that Scorponok alongside Ironhide was a notorious shellformer in his day.
What I was wanting to say Decepticon side is like the Mirage / Dreadwing mold I thought was very unique, very cool. You get a little cool action gimmick with like the pop-up missile launchers. And it's a boat, which again is something we did not get a lot of. But I always felt like the Decepticons were a little bit stronger than the Autobots because their gimmick was, hey, cool weapons. And if you want something even like cheaper to gain entry for, a majority of the Omnibots and Terracons are just fun toys. They have their little setbacks, but when you look at them and you're like, hey, back in the day, like, I know the, I'm trying to remember, the Skyblast. That's one I just love to this day. Even with the little weird transformation gimmick where you're twisting the chest to have everything reveal, it doesn't have to be fiddly, but there are like little things that you're like, make sure everything goes through. The 07 movie, if you want to get a hold of some of those, they re-released them, and they're still fun, great toys. And if you want to add to an Energon shelf, they were all kind of drones to mine Energon, so they still fit back with the Energon stuff. If you're looking to get into Energon, my only warning is the actual like Energon stars. Those always worry the hell to me because I feel like they swell up, and I'm like, I'm never going to get this son bitch off the chest. So if they don't have one on the chest, I've had a few of them that were just, how am I going to get this thing off? And I'm hoping I'm not just going to crack the red or, was it red or green clear plastic? Or I guess blue later on in the series.
I haven't had any trouble with them, even years and years after the fact. But maybe it's just dumb luck.
some of mine had been sitting on since I brought them home back when they first came out. So 20 plus years of just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about BotCon a little bit. It's funny looking on eBay to see with the advent of the new versions that we talk about in the bingo card, which of these figures have dropped in value. Like Farrak and Dion are super cheap. A couple others are like that too.
So some of those always were.
Oh, okay.
Farrak was cheap before they did another version. No, I don't, like, nobody really cared about him. And Dion was like, nobody likes that mold.
And I feel like some of the Machine War stuff, I know when BotCon was going away, like I think the Mirage, which was the repaint of the Classics Mirage, I think they were selling for like $20 or $30 at one point. Some of the stuff just didn't have as much staying power, but I feel like it's starting to grow back.
It was just starting to get older. And so that's all it really is.
I've been partial towards the Rapido and the Scorch. But that's a lot of money. I've handled those molds, but that's just a lot of money.
Well, that Rapido is excellent. That is so good. And that's actually a nice thing with them redoing all these Dotson guys so many times is I feel like Rapido just owns that mold now.
I guess so.
But it is good as everything else, too. I still enjoy that one. Wings are a little fiddly. You got to be careful with them. They're on those clear ball joints. But at least they don't go movie scalpel on you.
Because it's that Classics Prowl mold or Universe Prowl or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, dear listeners, this episode will not be 2.5 hours long. We're going to start on bragging rights. And let's, Coolio, you didn't start any of the last questions, so why don't you start bragging rights?
Okay. I'm going to start bragging rights by reaching out and saying thank you to Fiddler Undone. I've forgotten to say something last episode, but 2 episodes ago, I talked about getting the Studio Series Matrix of Leadership, and my big gripe being trying to run it on USB because the USB plug was blocked. Fiddler Undone reached out with a PM through Cybertron and informed me that the back of the Matrix of Leadership does indeed have a little panel that pulls out that gives you access to USB at all the time, except there's not a great place to store the little panel, so you kind of drop it in the void and let it stick there if you want to leave it powered by USB all the time.
See, so, even Coolio couldn't get the Matrix open without assistance.
And like Scotty was saying, it has little shards that you can leave everywhere, adding extra changing abilities. So thank you for reaching out, letting me know that, and even being like, hey, it's not even in the instructions that I'm sure I read very importantly, because there's a lot to do with the Matrix. As far as actual gets, I think I'll start off with my clearance fodder. And that was, I went ahead and against all of the fibers of my being, I picked up Breakaway because he was $7 at my local Walmart. Breakaway being the FIFA transforming soccer ball. I was fairly impressed with how well they turned it into a little like racquetball-esque size ball, and how the deluxe size one they were able to pull it with very little parts forming, just basically like the one little shield piece comes on it. It does come with a little stand. The little stand has pegs, so you can have Breakaway stand in robot mode, and then it also has a soccer ball that folds open and you can stick inside the bottom of the stand. And the soccer ball set up with a little peg on it that pegs onto the feet to recreate Breakaway kicking the soccer ball. I'm not a big soccer guy. This really was just because it was super deep on clearance, and I'm like, let's see how they make the thing turn into a ball. So I was impressed by the stuff they had done to it. For me, it was probably about the right price at $7, but not something I'm going to be super excited to display either way. It was just a cool fiddle thing at that price. So not a whole lot to say on that one.
I've seen, I don't know if it's AI generated or edited or what, but I've seen pictures of a supposed listing of a Primus from Age of the Primes, and it's that mold redecoed in yellow, like Vector Sigma. And I'm like, that's just dumb and lazy enough. I could almost believe it to be true.
Wait, what mold?
that mold, the soccer ball mold, that turns into a ball as Primus becoming Vector Sigma. No, it's got to probably be an AI or a meme, but I've seen...
There's no way
it's that's dumb enough. I feel like it could be real, but I don't know.
No.
When I got this guy from Walmart, I don't think a single one had sold out of the like standee. So I don't know if this guy's ironically going to have legs to stay around for much. So if you want somebody to mess with, he was pretty cool. The next thing I got off clearance fodder was...
Greetings. I am Optimus Prime. Bopet, you start.
So I got the... Optimus Prime Bopet. The main reason for that is something that we had been told that I think that we said was good old John 3.0 was the Bopet Transformer Optimus Prime. So it was like, hey, you know, sometimes I just get bored and I'd like John to yell commands at me. So went ahead and got that. So far, I've gotten to 85 of the 100 to win it. But like I said, it was just something stupid finding floating around, and I'm like, cool, I finally found this thing, and he was on clearance. I'm like, okay, I will do that.
We need to clip that out of context for future use. Sometimes I get bored and want John to yell commands at me.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to come back to haunt me pretty bad. But it was cool. I do have a plan, but I will get to that when I finally circle the plan with what I'm doing with that stuff. For new stuff, stop by... And I stumbled on, ironically enough, with BotCon repaints, the Megazarak leader. I'll just say this. I think the paint looks really good. It does remind me of a time that it was a lot of fun to pick up this original guy. And I was excited to have something with the name Zarak. The colors still pop. And I feel like they did a little bit with the way they painted this one that they didn't highlight the original features that frustrated me on the other repaints of the mold so far. Other than that, I'll kind of leave. I don't want to say too much about the mold because I know we've already said a lot about it. But if you haven't experienced it yet, if you wanted something to experience, I think that this is a cool coloration. Everything looks good. And it was nice to see kind of that homage to the old BotCon toy. Outside of him... I also found his casemates, so I got the Herald of Unicron. I know the coloration is supposed to be this. I don't know what it is, but the colors, it just reminds me, like, when I look at the head mold, when I look at the colors, I don't know why, but I keep thinking that it should be a more kiddier toy, just by how they look to me. Again, it's fun to have the larger leaders. And this was one that I checked the box with to get. But I'm definitely not going to run out to like troop build this guy or anything. So I was happy to get a hold of him, happy to have him. I like having the extra little unicron spikes that you can throw on him. But I don't have a whole lot to say other than I did manage to pick him up. Outside of those guys, figure wise, I got a hold of something that we had talked, I think last episode about like 2002, stuff like that. And when it felt fun to get the old, like get the G1 characters, which made me think back to that time. And I finally got my hands on the Genesis art book, which I was like definitely riding the nostalgia train. I think my wife ran into the store and I was just kind of sitting in the car waiting for her to come out. This had just shown up and I was just flipping through the pages and just geeking out at all the old artwork that I probably had half this stuff set as a desktop wallpaper at some point in the last 20 years. But it was fun to look back and see just the artwork when G1 was something we hadn't seen in forever. Seeing all the Armada stuff coming in and like kind of realizing how much the fandom has grown since this book came out. Like Armada was new and fresh. So seeing that as like what was modern. And then just little surprises like there's a piece of artwork of Machine Wars Starscream that I'm just like, man, that is some incredible, like, that seems so just out of left field. Or looking through and seeing, like, the Don Figueroas, the different artists that become a major part of what would be comics and what would be coming up. and then like getting to see some of the concept drawings from Aaron Archer, and then out of nowhere it's just like art by Mainframe, and it's like, oh cool, there's something from Beast Machines. But just very much fun, like I said, going back and revisiting what was 2002 art and getting a hold of the coffee table book that at the time, being some little guy going through high school, whatever, throwing however much money this book was, I was wanting to get a toy instead. But now to finally have the fine art coffee table book when I'm at an age when I can actually have a coffee table to put it out on, it's like, this was a cool and definitely hit me in like the nostalgia nerve. And then looking back on it and like all the controversy, how we were supposed to get the second one of the toy art, and now being able to sit this next to my Transformers Legacy book and actually have the toy art sitting next to it.
It's like we're nostalgic for a time when we weren't poisoned by the nostalgia, right?
That was what's funny is I think after we had that discussion, that was like a Facebook Marketplace pickup. But I think shortly after the podcast, I saw somebody listed on the Marketplace at a great price, and I was like, I got to do this. I always actually want to look through it. And then it was nostalgia for the nostalgia.
So yeah. We're at the nostalgia singularity now.
We are, yeah. Well, you know what we're really at? I call it is rock bottom. Back then, we were like the kid that just had their first wine cooler on a beach trip, and everything is interesting and new.
We were totally wasted on Zima.
And now, well, somewhere in between, we were wasted on Zima. And now, we are waiting outside of the liquor store in the morning to go and buy some, like, whale gin or something.
It's that iconic underage drinking experience.
No, now that's we're right. The guys who have the lottery tickets to hope to get the bourbon.
Yeah, we got laminated cards for the drinking, the underage drinking.
It's okay as long as your parents give it to you, at least in the state of Ohio.
You know, I actually saw a post that said that the Texas law that they quote, it's not even like correct in that context.
The like, Romeo and Juliet thing? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've got to ask you what worries you more. The fact that that is not correct, or the fact that someone corrected the fact that that's not correct?
I mean, both. But I think it's more just funny that it's not correct. Like, somebody that probably just either knew better or was being spiteful just to be a troll went and looked it up. And I'm fine with that.
What would be really funny is if someone went to jail or prison thinking that that card was going to save them, but they were following the wrong version of the law.
Somebody go scrape like Texas police blotter. See if anybody's tried to.
Yeah.
See if anybody's tried to use that laminated card. I don't know how. You know, like Florida, you get everything because their laws are very open about like what they're going to publish about crimes and all that. Different states are different, so who knows if you can even get that information. But I got to know now if somebody's tried to pull a laminated card out.
Like, and I hope that they're like, they said they saw it in a Transformers movie, and the police officer did not take that as a true response.
Well, you know, police love being questioned, so.
His response was, I am Ladiesman 2117.
This is how you get thrown in the back of the patrol car. All right.
But no,
he's reaching for his laminated license and gets shot.
Oh, no. Yeah. No sudden movements when you're going for the laminated
cookie. Yeah.
So outside of clearance soccer balls, a couple new leaders, John to yell at me, and Genesis art book. That's what I got since last podcast.
All right. Iron 19, you got anything this time?
I've one thing this time. I got mostly DC and Star Wars action figures this time. But I decided to finally cave on it. It's just you thought I could maybe work him in with like my engineer construction scientist shelf or something. The Kranix is better than I thought it was going to be. It's honestly deceptive that it's a Transformer. Like, they managed to get the character model of it really well.
I thought it's guys hear me or is it frozen?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. the transformation on it's okay. I mean, he's kind of an abstract alt mode, but I think the articulation on him is surprising. He's got mouth articulation, which is relatively rare on a normal robot transformer. Yeah, he's good. I like the look of him. He's definitely unique, because I think the people that are like, we need an arbalist and all this, I'm like, do we?
Yes, we do.
I would appreciate one.
But it's just going to be this in like a different color.
I don't care. I like that toy.
I really enjoy that.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
Oh, of course. But it's Transformers. How dare they release a toy in only one color?
Ugh.
Look, I would appreciate Kranix redone in like hot pink as G2 Kranix, okay? I like that toy. It's fun.
You know what I really like about Kranix? He's not Bumblebee or Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Up until that guy showed up, I just had two of the guys from the Pit of Judgment to feed to Shark Johns in a diorama. But, like, I'm happy he's there. The alt mode is definitely something that I did it once, and I'm like, cool, he will go back to normal mode. But I feel like they put everything they could into that robot mode. I feel like its paint has looked great. He looks solid, and he doesn't need to be something else.
Is weapon supposed to be like a blowtorch or something?
Beats me. I mean, he doesn't use a weapon.
Yeah.
So I feel like he just made something up. Mode. Yeah. I think it just kind of helps fill it out, gives him an accessory, and just pluses it up a little bit.
I would have rather a test tube or something.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I have a lot of things en route, but they are not here. So I did mention my Ghost Starscream earlier with the fan book. I also got a upgrade kit for my Solus Prime. I got the Achai head, but then they also made a bunch of other like parts for it. So I bought just the whole kit with the head and everything. So you get the head, you get thigh pieces that kind of round out the thighs, give it some more detail, like a silvery with gold accents. Get a new chest plate, which is mostly just kind of makes it more, a little bit more aligned IDW-ish in shape. It's not like one of the Gooner chest plates that has been made for it that just slaps boobs on her. This is more just changing the look a little bit, and it just clips onto the front. And then what I think is, then there's another front skirt piece, which I feel is very optional. It does look nice, but it's just sort of there. I don't know if it really made it better. It just makes it different. And then I think the most important thing it comes with is it comes with new feet that you actually end up getting them on by partially transforming the feet back into truck mode. And then as they're like pointed down, you peg the new ones in, like you kind of got to nestle them in there and then peg them in from the back, and then you put the top of the foot on it. So you have to parts form it a little bit, but it adds a bunch of height to her, and it works really well. I really like what it does.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Scavenger and Bone Crusher and the DNA kit, where it's just kind of like peg on feet to make their proportions better.
Yeah. And then it also comes with like a shield, and then the shield you can fold, and it's part of like a forge. So it's like the base of it, and then you can put, it looks like a big hammer top, but it's not. That's like the forge. But then you can also, again, take the bottom part out, fold that out into a shield, and then the forge itself, you can either clip onto the back and she can just like carry it. Yeah. Or you can use it as like a big two-handed blaster, which is kind of fun.
I've seen a lot of different takes on that, like Anvil Forge thing, and it's just fun to see what people come up with.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun kit. You can still transform it with it, kind of. It's a lot of parts forming, honestly, and like the chest plate, you kind of just have to put aside. And the head, like it has this extra ornamentation in the back that you have to unpeg where the head can't fold in. And then it is just like a standard port on the other side of it, so that you can set it somewhere in the vehicle mode, but you're very much parts forming it. Same thing with the feet, right? If you own Solus Prime, you know that there's no room anywhere for those feet to go underneath it. There's no room left under that truck. So they just kind of attach to the side, and it's... Hey, you know, girl, if you're proud of your new shoes, show everybody, but they're just kind of hanging out on the side of the truck mode, so... But the fact that there's some effort to make it still be transformable and the kit not just be something that's, either pieces off to the side or you don't have to permanently mod it to where you can't transform it anymore or anything like that, I appreciate that. Like, it's not ideal, but it's also just working with what it has. There's some things, if you want to improve it, you're just going to have to parts form it in the vehicle mode. So, anyway, liked it. Little pricey for what it was, but not bad. I also got the Leader Blitzwings from Studio Series, just because Pulse shipped it and it got here. And it sure is another Leader Blitzwing. It's not just the Dramatic Capture one, so that was nice.
That's what I was going to ask. What's different?
So this one has the painted canopy is different. Mm-hmm. There are some various little paint details that are not present on this Studio Series one that are on the Dramatic Capture. Like, there's the shoulders are one part I can think of where they got that little gray stripe and then it just kind of ends. Those just keep going. That other piece is painted on the Dramatic Capture one. The purples and tans are completely different. They're similar, but totally different. They're still different. And then, of course, the Hasbro one comes with the big Hulk hands, if you care about those.
We love the Hulk hands.
Yeah. So overall, I think the Dramatic Capture one looks nicer. But it's mostly because it's just got those little Takara Tomy accoutrements with the paint, where it's just these small details that kind of add up over the course of the entire figure and make it look nicer overall. But this is a good one. It is nice. If you missed out on the Legacy one, which is hard to do. It was around, but if you did, cool option. If you got the Legacy one, I don't think this is a slam dunk. You got to go upgrade. I don't even feel like it's an upgrade. It's just a slightly different set of colors.
You know what's crazy is Astrotrain and Blitzwing have gotten multiple redos, and Octane is still stuck back in Titan's Return.
That's because that Octane's good.
It is good.
It's because Octane was a traitor.
He was a traitor.
Yep. We don't like traitors.
What about Trader Joe?
Trader Joe, he sold out this country.
Yep. I was talking about the grocery store.
I know. We don't have him around here. We have Lay Me Hair.
No, I don't like him.
Yeah. We have the French Lay Me Hair.
They were cool, but I broke a tooth on some of their stuff once because it had a staple in it. So,
what, like an apple?
And bread.
How do you... Okay. I'm trying to just think of the context in which a staple ended up in bread.
Right, yeah, me too. That was Hey, look, they paid for the dental work, so it's fine.
Because they didn't really?
Wanna, yeah, they didn't want a lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
They didn't even fight. They're like, yep, here's all your money back for all your groceries that day and send us the dental bill. So
nice.
Anyway, nobody cares about that. So outside of that, I did get a Caillou card, kind of in between sets, but I have some more on the way to bore everyone with next episode. But I got a TF Expo exclusive card that they did. It is a Rodimus versus Galvatron card, all foil and stuff, with Unicron in the background. And it is limited to 1,986 copies with the little serialized number on the back. So pick that up from my eBay seller pal. So thank you, Project GoGo, for the hookup on the card. GoGo profits off these, but I'm still going to thank them. Also, let me know that they've got a Transformers movie 40th set coming up next. So Caillou just put out an Energon Universe Volume 2 set. The one that's coming later this year is Transformers the Movie 40th Anniversary one. So that one's going to be dangerous.
the nice thing is with that kind of stuff, you know, the turnaround can be a lot faster when the media versus the print, you know, versus a few years down the line for toys.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I had a Shredhead card way faster than a toy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he hadn't been razor crested. So that's,
yeah, they hadn't been, they hadn't been razor crested yet.
I haven't read the latest issue. He's probably back and just fine. It's okay. It'll ruin the joke, but that's okay.
Yeah, the non-binary thing is kind of weird with Shredhead.
Mm.
It's because it's literally multiple people. It's not like a gender thing. It's because it's multiple bodies put into one thing. So it's a weird usage of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a yeah. There's sometimes there are strong analogies that can be made and be very effective. I'm not sure that's one of them.
No, it's not.
Mm. So the only other thing, and I'm only going to do this because we haven't even hit 2 hours. I got a vintage Dagarn from the Brave series. And he's cool. He's cool. I had gotten the Gatai version a little while ago. And I saw a good deal on the vintage version and picked it up. The easiest way for me to describe the design of this guy. So Dagarn combines with Gaorn or Gaorn. Lion Gao. And, you know, it's basically a red, white, and blue guy with a sword and a smaller guy inside of him, then combines with a yellow and black lion guy to be bigger and have like a super mode. So it's basically the Brave equivalent of Star Saber and Victory Leo.
Sounds sus.
It's like the same. It's like they came from the same studios or toy maker or something. Oh my god! It's like they found a. It's like they had a formula.
Is it better than Star Saber and Victory Leo?
Well, I don't have the vintage Gowern, so I can't say. I do think the design, the overall design of the combined mode, Great Dagarn X is better looking, I think, than Victory Saber, in my opinion. Because Victory Saber is mostly just some wings for Star Saber and boots, I guess.
Wings and shoes.
Yeah. This is much more integrated. Much better integrated, I think. But still a little bit of shoes.
So just looking at this design, is like the shoulder pads like upside down feet from the other guy that are like missile launchers?
I'd have to see what picture you're looking at, because I'm...
All the pictures of this Great Dagarn X, he has, like, missile launcher shoulder pads, like, Legacy, G2 Prime or whatever.
Those are... blanking.
Because they look like upside-down feet.
Those are not upside-down feet. What okay. were those? I think they're the shoulders?
Is it a thing on the toy, or not just the animation?
Yeah, it's on the toy. Yeah, those are, I think those are the shoulders of Gowern. Yeah, those are Gowern's shoulders that have the, like, missiles. So, like,
yeah.
They come out the side. They look a little bit better on the Gatai version than on the animation model. That's, I think, where I was getting tripped up, is I was looking at the animation model, and I was like, what the hell? And now I'm looking at the toy I actually own, and, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a bit cleaner on that Gatai toy. They do a little bit of stylistic liberty, but it's usually for an improvement. The one thing I do wish it could do that I don't think it can is in the last Super Robot Wars, I saw that he, like, so those yellow pieces on the side of his legs are also off of Gowern in the combined mode, and, like, so he has this big combined gun that he can use. And it's two guns that get put together. And what happens, at least in the Super Robot Wars animation, is that those yellow pieces, like, pop out a bit to the side. And he, like, pulls them up like they're revolvers or something. And then he combines them into a BFG. I don't think the toy can do that. I wish it could. But, yeah.
I always have trouble telling the difference between when you're talking about, like, the modern Brave toys or when you're talking about the vintage stuff.
It's because I'm not very clear. Yeah.
Is it you collect both of them?
I collect whatever I feel like with it, and so it ends up being a bit of both. Yeah.
And so this is the vintage one, but the other one of the two, you don't have the vintage one. So you don't have the Lion vintage one?
I don't have the Lion vintage one. That's correct.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And this is the vintage one.
Yeah. The one I got this time is the Duggarn, just the red, white, and blue guy.
Okay. Yeah. Then do you have the modern one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the modern, both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I get you.
Hey, that's all right.
And there's a Kotobukiya model kit of it, too.
I don't do the models. I have too many unbuilt models to get more of them.
I don't know if it's painted or not.
No chance. If it's a model kit.
Lockheed's paints their model kits.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. It's all molded, mostly. There's some paint.
Well, the wheels, the metal part's painted.
And the actual elites feel like they might have a little bit more paint on them, too.
Well, and the chase ones have tampos and paint. And
I take it back. There's a good amount of paint on their Transformers ones and their Marvel Rivals ones.
That's, your $20 size ones.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop here now that I've confused everyone with Brave Toys and talking about those. But that's it. We're done. It's the end of the episode. We did not go for the length of a Bay movie this time.
We're closer to like an 86 movie length this time.
Yeah, we better cut it off before we have Hasbro add a pointless end segment that nobody needs.
You will get that on the 40th anniversary of this episode.
Somebody's going to tell me about it. I ain't going to go. All right. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Follow Sabertron.com daily. Set it as your homepage. Like us at Facebook.com/Sabertron. Get the latest Transformers news on your smartphone by following us at Twitter.Sabertron.com. View the world's largest Transformers galleries at Sabertron.com/galleries. Check out our product listings at Sabertron.com/eBay. Get our news feed at Sabertron.com/news. Join our community and become a Sabertronian at Sabertron.com/join. And download our podcast automatically from iTunes or from Sabertron.com/podcast. The ultimate Transformers resource, Sabertron.com. Podcast music by Megamok at YouTube.com/Megamok.